Welcome, everybody, to episode 427 of RP Grinders. I am your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman, the Bold. I'm just trying to read your chat here, Breakman, as we're introducing everybody here. And, of course, the Frosty One himself, the Mug. Oh, my God. Already.
Frosty.
God, walking off this show even before it starts.
Wait, you going to Wendy's?
God. Gentlemen, how was your week? We'll start with you, Eric. How are you doing, man?
Right.
What? Was that Breaker, Eric?
I said
Eric.
I
didn't know who you said.
I said Eric.
Yeah, me either.
Eric.
The week's over.
Yeah, it is over. That is true.
And next week, I get to find out what's wrong with me.
What do you mean?
My fingers.
What's wrong? Oh, still having trouble with that, man? Damn. What's up with that?
Well, it hasn't gone away.
Yeah. Well, that
sucks. My appointment was set for Wednesday.
Oof. Yeah. All right, man. Well, good luck on that, man. Hopefully, good news coming your way. We might have a shortened show this week. We're not going to do too much news. I'm doing a GDP, depending on if anybody shows up in chat. Mug, how was your week, man?
Busy.
Busy?
But reasonably productive.
All right. That sounds good. What are you eating there, man?
Actually, mine was busy, too, before you ask.
Me? Eating?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where you get such a thing.
You got something in your mouth there, man. I don't know what it is. Breakman, how was your week, man?
It was busy. And it was there. And it happened.
Yeah, and it happened. There you go. Well, that's, I guess, a good thing.
That happened.
Dungeon Buster is in chat. What is up, Dungeon Buster? Let us know if you can hear us. Good sir, how are you today? All right, gents, we're each going to pick two new stories. I'm going to start with Eric, and then we'll move along to Breakman Mug, and then myself. So, Eric, without further ado, pick your two new stories this week.
My first is from Gematsu, and it's about how the Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel 1 and 2, total sales top 900,000.
Yeah, that's interesting. Do we think it's going to get up to 1 mil?
Now, we don't know whether or not this is globally or...
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Or Japan's, but... or if it is globally, how much of each region? Because they didn't factor that in. And they also don't factor in digital sales. They don't have an accurate method of tracking that stuff yet.
Yeah. I'm thinking that Trails of Cold Steel might get over that 1 million
mark.
Yeah, I'm thinking it might get there. I don't know. That's really cool. It's good news. I'd like
to
know.
That's between two different platforms too. So. Yeah.
Well, still,
even so, I mean, if it could do that well in the U.S., then it would be nice for be nice to see the series.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really make any mark.
I totally agree. I think we all agree Trails Cold Steel is a good series.
I'm going to imagine at least the U.S. is a third. U.K., another third.
Yeah. All right, Eric, what's your next story?
Next story is how Peter Durant Thoman helps XC fix Little King story for PC. Anyways, he helped them fix the PC version of Little King Story, which was released earlier in at the end of last year. It says he helped fix various issues, and as a result, it's now repaired and experienced a relaunch. And well, that just means a title update, but whatever. But although I guess they're doing a sale to. Kind of like a grand reopening of sorts, I guess. But things he did were the fact that he noted the game was built on a custom engine and decided its overall performance, intermittent stuttering, and 60 FPS mode issues needed repairs. And It says he used cash to prevent state changes unless absolutely necessary, improving overall performance by over 50%. Starting issue candidates were found with a NVIDIA end site and address. Because of how the central NPC simulation code works, arbitrary frame rate support was impossible, so instead Durante worked on locked 60 FPS. He worked at frame rate dependent speed mismatches to fix NPC and animal movement, hard coded object, and simulation speeds. And in addition, he applied MSAA anti-aliasing, anti-Sorbic filtering, and transparency supersampling, shadow caster options, XPUT controller analog directional control support, and other adjustments, as well as new launcher to support these new options. So you can get it on the Wii, the PlayStation Vita, which you should probably avoid because they removed all the charm for that version of the game. Or you can get it on Steam. But the game is 40% off on Steam and the Humble Store until February 9th. So that was yesterday, so it's no longer on sale. Sorry, people. but I imagine it will have sales in the future.
Yeah. That's really cool. This guy's pretty awesome. Like
this is what I said Namco needs to do. They need to hire someone like him to fix their games.
Is this the same guy that fixed Dark Souls on PC?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Interestingly enough, though, Durant did not do the 60 FPS fix for Tales of Zestiria on Steam. Someone else did that.
You know,
but this is the first time I've heard of somebody like Durant getting hired by a company to fix things.
This guy is notorious for doing these things, and that's really cool.
I did argue he should be, you know, running some kind of business, and then he can get clients like Exceed to help fix stuff.
I don't understand why.
You would think whoever published the Dark Souls games, they would have been like, oh, you actually made this game much better. Let's, let's incorporate that into the official thing, and voila.
Yeah,
instead of
and
trying to
let's,
keep it from being used, like what the fuck was that about?
Exactly, and let's put you on the payroll and get you paid. Like this guy is like really good. He does these things fairly quick too.
I heard the Naruto Ship It In Ultimate Ninja Storm 4 for PC had issues with the frame rate as well. So it's like apparently the game didn't even have 60 frames until like recently, but there were like issues with it.
Another broken Naruto game. Great.
Yeah. It's like, I wonder what he could do with Arkham Knight on PC.
The
Naruto games have been fun, the ones I've played, but they're broken.
Mm.
Every single one I've played has been broken. Well, the first online one I played, there was single player. There was a point where I'd get into a certain battle with a certain character, and after I beat him, it crashed every single time.
Mm. I beat every single one of those, so maybe it's the version you're playing.
Mm. Well, maybe. I was playing the Xbox versions.
I played the Xbox version of 3, and I didn't have issues, but that was the first game. I wasn't playing full burst, so who knows what's going on there.
Mm.
Was that your second story, Eric?
Yeah.
All right, Breakman, let's get to yours.
Well, I've got sad news to report to everyone because for some reason the story is suddenly not loading. But the story is that South Park, the fractured butthole, has been delayed.
Did I not say it was not going to come out?
We all knew it was going to be delayed.
yes.
But I didn't expect it to be indefinite, though.
Yeah,
it's the most vague.
Anywhere from now until next year.
Yeah, this is the most vague delay I've ever heard. This may come out between April 1st of 2017 and March 31st of 2018.
Damn, yeah. It might even be canceled.
Yeah, they pushed it into the next fiscal year.
Yeah.
Yeah, which still means it might come out this year, to be honest.
Yeah, but if it comes out this year, it's going to be the fall.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, or holiday.
Yeah, holiday. I'm guessing.
It would be right. Good for them, I guess.
If the holiday is jam-packed like it usually is, it might be something that they push back until the winter time.
If I was them, I'd put it up in the holiday schedule. I mean, South Park's a huge name. The first game did fairly well. I mean, I think it could sell quite well during the holiday. I think it would.
I do too, but I don't think the publishers maybe have that confidence that we do.
They should. Ubisoft really should think about putting it out holiday this year. I think it would be fine. I mean. What are we getting, another fucking Call of Duty? Maybe, like, really?
I was gonna say Call of Duty.
Yeah,
and there'll be a new Madden and
Call of Duty reboot, because apparently Infinite Warfare did terribly.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. Infinite Warfare was not up to the standards that they wanted, because it was more of a futuristic shooter and stuff like that, and that didn't go over a lot with the crowd. They want the Call of Duty crowd wants the modern warfare vibe. Yeah, they don't want sci-fi with jetpacks and stuff like that.
Yeah,
if you got that stuff, I'd recommend you play Halo anyway.
Yeah,
it's like, imagine having maneuverability.
Yeah, but I don't want to have to deal with Master Chief's monotone boringness.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not fair.
Dungeon Buster says maybe they should have stayed with Obsidian on development. I fully agree with that. Obsidian's a great developer for sure. Okay,
that's my first story. My second story comes to us live from Gamatsu. Netflix announces Castlevania animated series launching sometime this year.
Yes, yes.
I know, that's pretty awesome. We don't know much, but here's what.
Yeah, I didn't realize until just now that it was animated and not live action. I was like, oh, well, that's actually kind of slightly disappointing.
Really?
I don't know. Like I was weird. When I first heard it, they didn't say whether it was going to be animated or not, and I was kind of weary.
I hate Roll Rads.
I don't know who Warren Ellis is, though. Who is he?
Here's the description so far, what we know. Castlevania is a dark and medieval fantasy following the last surviving member of the disgraced Belmont clan, trying to save Eastern Europe from extinction at the hands of Vlad Dracula Tepe himself.
Yeah, oh my god. It's tepish.
Yeah.
Tepish?
Tepish.
You're right, I'm sorry. It's pronounced...
You're right.
It's pronounced like TS, it's tepish.
You're right. I do remember that now that you said it. Yes, my bad. The animated series is from Frederator Studios, which is known for Adventure Time, among other series. Frederator.
Yeah.
That's the weirdest name I've ever heard from an animation studio.
But Adventure Time is well loved. It's not by me, but I know like Eric loves Adventure Time.
I've never seen an episode of Adventure Time. It's weird.
The only thing I liked about it was John DiMaggio.
It's pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
I was really bored with it.
Dungeon Buster says he's hoping it's as dark as Vampire Hunter D. I totally agree. Like Vampire.
Well, if you watched it now, you'd be lost, because they're actually making an actual story.
I liked both of the Vampire Hunter D movies.
Oh yeah, Vampire Hunter D movies were freaking awesome.
The second one,
I didn't care for the second one all that much.
I love the second one.
I liked the second one okay.
Good animation, boring story.
Yeah, I agree that the story was
okay. That's fair. That's
and it was dub only, so it's like meh.
Yeah, it was. I don't know.
The story of the second one wasn't as good as the first one. You're correct.
Yeah, I was going to say, as far as who Warren Ellis is, he's a comic writer. Some of the stuff he's done, he did Hellstorm, Prince of Lies, Marvel 2099, Doom 2099, some Excalibur, some Starjammers, Excalibur, Storm, X-Men and Wildcats, Wolverine, X-Force, Generation X, X-Men, Astonishing X-Men, Ghost Rider, Druid, Daredevil, Doctor Strange, Ruins, What If, Thor.
Yeah, Warren Ellis is really big in comic.
Yeah, he's got quite a little bibliography here.
I remember the Doom 2099 probably being one of the better of the 2099 arcs in Marvel, if I'm not mistaken. I could be totally wrong, but I from what I remember, Doom 2099 was not bad at all. There were others like Hulk 2099 that was not very good, and I was disappointed. Hulk 2099 looked a lot like Godzilla, like that new Godzilla movie, which was highly disappointing. But
asshole.
Doom on the other hand, I thought had a good story. I can't quite remember all everything, but
You mean with The Rock and stuff? Like, that wasn't a good story. What are you talking about?
No.
Back to Bloodlust. I wonder if the novel that movie's based on is actually more interesting because it actually has detail.
Yeah. All right. Was that your second story? Yeah, that was your second story.
The only good part of the Doom movie was when The Rock was like, that's a big fucking gun or something like that. Yeah. You know, the BFG.
All right. Mug, your two stories, please.
All right. I'm kind of having to pick up some pieces here, but okay. It's coming to us live from Destructoid. A new Baroque-style RPG, Greedfall, has been announced and claims your choices will matter. Every single role-playing game and its grandma claims to change drastically based on decisions made in-game, yet almost none of them live up to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. French developer Spiders, the Technomancer, the Testament of Sherlock Holmes, makes a similar claim in its announcement of Greedfall, a fantasy RPG designed using a 17th-century aesthetic coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC. This darker-toned fantasy will have the typical RPG fanfare of magic and a large explorable world filled with secrets as well as characters to interact with. It will also feature quote-unquote diplomacy and stealth mechanics as alternative means to complete quests along with combat. So kind of like Deus Ex. Diplomacy may just possibly be a fancy word to explain dialogue systems that can be utilized to convince or manipulate others like in Knights of the Old Republic, but it would be interesting if there was some sort of civilization-style intertribal relations to manage. Spider CEO states that along with affecting relationships with characters, in-game decisions ranging from seemingly trivial choices to the most important political decisions will influence and affect its course. That sounds great, but forgive me if I'm a little skeptical after decades of games that promise as much, but ultimately change little beyond a few lines of dialogue.
We're always skeptical of those things.
Yeah, like the games that promise multiple endings, like they're very like slightly different endings.
Star Ocean 2 and its 64 ending, which are just permutations of the existing ending.
Yeah.
And it plays a handful of them based on what private actions you did.
I thought Catherine did a decent job of it. I don't know if you guys played that game, but that was purely based on kind of the decisions that you made and stuff like that. But that's as close as I've seen. He mentions heavy rain in the story, which was pretty close. But every time...
Yeah, I mean, heavy rain's endings, the story actually did change quite dramatically, you know, because, I mean, how your characters could die, so...
Yeah, right.
And Dungeon Buster and Chat points out Way of the Samurai, which isn't really an RPG, but... Yeah, the endings were vastly different depending on how you play the game.
Yeah, and Chrono Trigger.
Chrono Trigger. He says,
I did like with Chrono Trigger, there was a bad guy ending, you know, like the villain could win type ending. Yeah. I love what they did.
Yeah. All right, next story, Breakman.
Me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Remember, we're doing
Frank, this was your idea.
My bad.
It's like old habits die hard. Anyway, coming to us live from Gematsu. Damascus Gear. Operation Tokyo HD Edition announced for PS4 and PC. New entry announced for PS Vita. Arc System Works and A-Plus Games have announced Damascus Gear, blah, blah, blah. The mech action RPG will cost 1,800 yen and launch in Japan for PlayStation 4 via the PS Store on February 22nd and for PC via Steam in spring 2017. The two companies have also announced that a new entry in the series is in development for the Vita. There's a teaser and link to a teaser website. Changes in the HD edition will include full HD support, 60 frames per second movement, the inclusion of both parts of the old Hero and Broken Gears of Time, both downloadable content, and as more after story in Hero Creation. It originally launched for PS Vita in Japan in December 2013 and was localized for North America and Europe in March 2015. And there's a little overview of the game, but I'm not going to go over all the details.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's cool. 60 frames per second is always a good thing, in my opinion, but, you know, whatever. Cool. Sounds good. I'm going to move on to a story that Eric wanted to do as well. Underwear goes to war in panty party. This comes to us from Silicon Era.
Please, God, please tell me more.
I know. This is pretty much the best title ever.
Right. Players will be taking living panties into battle, making them square off in melee and range combat against...
This is the best game ever. Best game concept ever made.
Range combat against other pairs of underwear in 3D action game Panty Party. In Panty Party, players are fighting against an evil power that aims to turn people into panties.
Is it the penis?
To defeat that power, players will have to face down other pairs of enemy panties on the street, beating them up in high-speed 3D combat.
Oh my god, yes.
Each pair of underwear offers unique skills and abilities, making the player's choice of an undergarment essential to victory. With their chosen fighter, they'll use an array of melee attacks and firearms to win the day. Panty Party's absurd sense of humor and ridiculous fights are available now on Steam.
It is a Western developed game because I could tell that they're using RenP as the text box engine. Because there are visual novel segments in the game, apparently.
I don't even know what to say about this game. I mean,
I haven't looked at anything of it.
Made by Japan, but no.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at anything of it. No footage, no screenshots or anything. But what I keep picturing is, do you guys remember Psychic Force 2012 on the Dreamcast?
Yes.
I remember it. One of those games.
I know the name, but I can't picture it.
It was this weird, like, arena combat sort of, like, versus fighting game where it was mostly projectile-oriented. And it's like, for some reason, that's what I'm picturing this game playing like.
I'm trying to look up screenshots because it's been a while since I played that game. And just imagine a lighter version of that with no people, just panties, Mug. And that,
just panties.
Yep.
So no asses in panties, just the panties themselves.
No asses in the panties, just panties fighting.
Oh, well, this game just went down in my back.
I know. It's like, then what's the point?
Right.
Like, this game
doesn't sound as good anymore.
Watch the modders do, like, butt mods or something.
Well, ooh, I was just going to say that there's breaking news on this story. Panty Party 2 Ass Wars is coming out next year. So. So there you go.
Well, there already is a boob war, so why not? And that's an arrow gay.
Yeah. So there you go. I like the concept.
Boob wars and ultimate boob wars.
I'm wondering if there really
just,
is.
Just skip the first one though, and just go straight to ultimate.
I'm wondering if there really is a market for this game. Like, honestly.
Yes. Shut up.
yes, there is. There's a market. Are you going to have to choose between like thong and like boy shorts and.
Yeah, granny panties.
Granny panties.
Wait, start out as. Yeah. You start out as a granny panties, yeah. You get the work your way up.
The boss is granny
that's
panties.
That's not it.
If you're playing as men, maybe you get a Fujoshi.
Please, let me get a sentence out before you start another one.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, instead of having these, like, this is not your advancement. These are the names of your difficulty levels. Like, granny panties would be like the easy level. I think, you know, G-string is like super ultimate. You know. Better yet, have you seen those C-strings?
Yeah, C-strings.
C-string would be like the ultimate nightmare inferno difficulty mode. Yeah.
Either that or like granny panties is the boss. Like, you have to fight granny panties at the end.
The C-strings are basically just floss, right?
Yeah, floss, pretty much.
It was basically just like, I think it's like a little plastic, you know, thing that just kind of curves around and covers up the crotch and, you know, the crack of the ass and literally nothing else.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. Yeah.
Okay. I don't even know what the – it's like when that is okay to wear, it's like, why even bother with underwear?
Yeah, why even bother, exactly.
Because the imagination is a great thing.
Let's try to class up this joint a little bit here, guys, with this next story from Silconera. Players can now receive Dragon Quest VIII bonus items via Spot Pass. Last month, Dragon Quest VIII released for the Nintendo 3DS in North America and Europe, and bonus items were supposed to be given out to players over Spot Pass to commemorate the game's launch. However, the game's release came and went without any items distributed. Now, Nintendo has acknowledged on Twitter that bonus items are, in fact, being given out now via Spot Pass.
Oops, we forgot. My bad.
Albeit later than planned. So there you go.
Yeah, by later than planned, I mean not even people in my neck of the woods can download them yet.
That's messed up.
Yep, so that's good news. Hopefully, maybe some C-string panties for Jessica would be nice in the game.
Well, I do know that there's a candy cane scythe that Yangus can equip, which is now the most powerful scythe, which is ridiculous because it's a candy cane.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is pretty ridiculous.
Did you guys hear shifting subject slightly, but speaking of weird games with interesting names, did you hear about a game called Slice, Dice, and Rice?
No, I have not.
It is a side-scrolling fighting game, but it's like it's, you know, 3D graphics. It actually looks really nice and an interesting art style, but it's a 2D, you know, fighting game, but it's inspired by Bushido Blade. So, like, there's no blocking, there's only parrying, and one good hit will kill you.
Yeah, I play Bushido Blade, and I suck terribly at that game.
Yeah, but it was such a good game. It was such a good game, and this game actually looks really good. It's on Steam Greenlight at the moment.
It does look pretty. I'm looking at screenshots. It looks really nice.
I get, like, one or two kills, and then the next person.
Steam, does anybody know what the whole thing with Steam Direct is?
No.
No, and other than that, it's supposed to be replacing Greenlight.
We got a bonus story that I'm going to do for you guys now from Siliconera, guys. This is the Mastema Out of Hell story. It's a 16-bit action game about crawling up from the bottom of hell. The protagonist of Mastema Out of Hell has no memory of why he's in hell, but that won't stop him from trying to escape it, fighting demons with found weapons and tools in this side-scrolling 16-bit action game. Players will face several kinds of monstrosities as they make their way through Mastema Out of Hell 55 stages. The creatures won't be their only trouble, though, as hell is also filled with traps, crumbling bridges, and spiked pits waiting to catch the unwary. Players will be able to find a number of tools to help them along their way, though. Unique weapons are hidden amongst the bones and fires, so dedicated explorers will find several artifacts that will make their lives easier. Out of Hell is raising votes on Greenlight for a projected release this quarter. I saw the I wanted to bring this up because this is exactly the type of game that I would play. It's like it said, a side scroller, 16-bit, and how cool is that? Like, you're
Dante's
trying to
Inferno, Metroidvania.
Yeah, pretty much.
So he's in the bottom of hell. Like, he had to do some really horrible shit to get there, didn't he?
I'm guessing.
Well, no, like the way that it worked in Dante's Inferno was, the, you know, the level of hell was not determined by the severity of your sin. It was determined by the type of your sin.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm guessing this is a little different. I think what Breakman said is correct. Like, this guy gets sent to literally the bottom of hell. Like, he's
this guy was a genocidal maniac who killed thousands.
Yeah,
now he's your hero.
You know, Hitler.
That would be mind-blowing to play a game like this. Like, you battle your way all the way through hell, and you figure out that you're, like, Hitler at the end of it.
Yeah, end of the game, you are Hitler. Yeah. Oh.
That would have made actually playing Dante's Inferno much more interesting if you found out. That's like, you're not actually Dante. You're actually Hitler.
Right.
Who thinks he's Dante.
Right. That actually was.
And also, I just have to say, Dante's Inferno holds as far as I'm aware, it holds the A landmark place in, you know, in the history of video games for being the first video game with dick physics.
Really?
Satan. Yeah,
like at the end of the game, like when the first form of Satan, you know, he has this massive swinging dick that just flies around, you know, according to whatever physics dictates.
That's weird. I don't remember that.
But like literally, like down to his knees. Like, Jesus Christ, dude.
I played Dante's Inferno, and I don't remember that. Well,
I probably killed him too fast to notice. That's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, like, the game wasn't especially difficult.
No, it wasn't. It was, but I liked the game quite a bit, actually.
That was fun.
It was kind of a God of War ripoff in a way, but
Nothing. It aped God of War in every possible way.
Yeah, yeah. So. All right, let's move on to homie discounts. I see we got some Koei Tecmo games added to the PlayStation PSN now, so there you go.
There's an addition to Koei Tecmo. There's also a sale going on for first week sale for Altillia Sophie and Knights of Azure for the PC. I think they're like 40% off, so that makes them about $30. Although there's a special bundle you can get if you pay about $47.59 or whatever. You can get the two of those games for $50.
Cool. Dungeon Buster is clearing up what the new Steam Direct's replacing Greenlight with. It's for he says is people no longer need to vote on games they want to see on Steam, which I think is a terrible idea. I think you should still be able to vote on these games, but whatever. Instead,
well, the thing is, Greenlight is one of the major contributors to the game, you know, to Steam becoming a cesspool. Because like people basically like basically farming for votes and offering free keys to, you know, to get people to vote their game onto Steam and that kind of shit.
I understand that, but that, I mean, even still, like, it's hard.
Honestly, though, I think people should just move to itch.io instead.
But apparently, developers and publishers are paying fees. They're undecided yet, anywhere between $100 and $5,000, depending on certain factors. So that, yeah. I mean, it's all about money.
I honestly do think that's a much better solution, because you won't have developers like fucking Digital Homicide, you know.
Yep. They can't afford it to put their game on there, then they won't put trash on there because it's probably trash.
Like all those garbage asset flips and all that shit that people keep doing.
Well, watch now. You're going to have all kinds of – I think you'll have even more shit now on there, but whatever. You know, whatever. All right. Twitter questions. Breakman, do we have anything on Twitter?
Twitter. Yeah, there was a would you rather. I don't know if I want to even do this one.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Oh, wait. There's also a PSN sale for a Play Anime sale, and there's a Ubisoft one, and then there's the Play Anime one, which is the Namco one. So there's a lot of Namco stuff you can get right now.
All right. Twitter.
I'm trying to scroll here and find it, because where the hell was it? There's a bunch of stuff between Frank and Moria that's clouding up my review here. there was a Would You Rather. I could have swore he gave us a Would You Rather. Now I can't find it.
I'm pretty sure Freak 5 gave us a Would You Rather.
I know he did, and I can't find it. What the hell?
Oh, darn. We're going to have to move on from this segment.
I'm gonna keep looking. All right. Move on, and I'll keep looking.
Okay, we'll move on.
Nothing of value is lost.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we're going to move on to item of the week, guys. I'll start off this week. Republicans. The Republicans in the Senate, we got two of them to – vote against DeVos as our Secretary of Education. We needed one more fucking Republican. One more to fucking change their mind and vote no against DeVos. And we couldn't get not even one of those fucking cowards to come over.
I think the Democrats are bigger cowards. They all voted for DeVos.
No, they didn't.
None of the Democrats voted for DeVos.
None of them.
Literally every single one voted against her.
Yeah, every single Democrat voted against DeVos. And we got two Republicans. We needed one more fucking Republican.
And I think and like one or two independents. Mm.
Yeah. And I that was, to me, the worst cabinet pick. Our education system is bad enough already. Like, I was just looking at the news locally here, and there are they're debating whether or not to shut down four schools in the Jeffco area, Jefferson County.
And there's a bill in there too, actually, to get rid of the Department of Education.
Yeah. So Betsy DeVos is awful. She basically bought her way in. That's what $200 million gets you, folks. If you donate $200 million, you can get on the White House presidency, apparently. So I think she's the worst of the worst. I think she can do the most damage. Her and Tillerson probably are the two worst, in my opinion. And I think Sessions
I'm more immediately worried about Sessions.
Yeah,
DeVos is a fucking nightmare. Make no mistake about it. But I think Sessions is going to be more actively damaging to more people.
I think in the short term, Sessions is going to be more damaging. But I think long term, I think Betsy DeVos and the Department of Education is the worst. I don't see us recovering. I can see us recovering from Sessions in 4 years. We will not be able to recover in 4 years from DeVos, what she's about ready to do. And then I found it kind of funny, like, she tweeted out, like, first day on the job, where's my pencil? And a bunch of teachers, like, got on there and said, well, you know, you should know as the fucking acting Secretary of Education that you have to pay for those pencils. So,
and which wasn't always the case. That actually was not even the case, like, 20 years ago. Yeah. Before there was a whole bunch of cuts to education, which of course was a fantastic idea.
Other countries like Sweden and even to a certain extent England and Spain and a lot of like forward thinking, like Japan's another one, like education is exalted. Like that's what puts your country ahead of others is education, not fucking guns, not spilling oil all over the fucking place and ruining the climate. It's fucking education. And
nationalism.
Yeah, and nationalism. That's not. Oh man, it just fucking sucks, man. I don't understand it. I wish. That's the one pick that hurt me the worst. Like Sessions is awful, no question about it. He's a racist, but so is Steve Bannon, so is Donald Trump, so is, I mean, probably Betsy DeVos.
The problem with Sessions is that this is a man who was like, you know, they said like this man is too racist to be a judge in the 80s. Like, and now he's the fucking attorney general.
Well, and did you see what they did? Which, by the way, Elizabeth Warren gets an item of the week as well for voting for Ben Carson. I mean, really, really. Really, that's the resistance is voting for Ben Carson. Oy. But she actually got shut down for reading Coretta Scott King's letter in the Senate. And I'm like, really, McConnell? You're shutting down Elizabeth Warren for reading that?
Another male senator was able to get away with doing it. And it's like, and what's funny is that they inadvertently created a meme. You know, she was warned she was given an explanation. Nevertheless, she persisted. And now I'm seeing that everywhere. Like people talking about just fucking tattooing it.
I really like Elizabeth Warren. Like I have a few problems. Like her voting for Ben Carson is just unfathomable to me.
I would like to see what her reasoning behind it was.
She wrote her reasoning.
Generally speaking, I mean, like she always has, a solid rationale behind what she does.
Yeah.
What her explanation for doing it.
If you go on her Facebook page, she did this whole page on why she voted for Carson, and I didn't find any great reason for it, to be honest with you. I didn't find any good reason. But this is what we're up against.
Maybe it was either if she didn't pick Carson, someone worse would have taken the position.
Yeah, well, I don't know. But look, check this out. I think there's more and more steam growing for an impeachment.
Even want his job apparently now. This president stuff's too hard, man. Yeah, I was
surprised that he can't run it and run the country like a business. It's because it's a fucking country, not a fucking business.
Oh God, yeah. So there's some.
So all we have to do is keep make his life a living hell for the next.
He does it for himself.
Then I'll leave.
He does it for himself, guys. Like he's something else. Anybody else have an item of the week?
I've got the Twitter questions.
Oh, okay. Twitter. Go for it.
Would you rather – this is from Freak 5Cast, of course. Get a tattoo of Mug playing his harmonica or a tattoo of Frank playing DQ8?
Oh, that's easy, man. Come on. That's like that's not
be,
even –
It's got to be me.
No,
it's got to be Mug and harmonica.
No, it's me playing Dragon Quest.
No, that's wrong, Frank. It's Mug and harmonica.
No, oh God, damn it! You got it all wrong. Like, do you want ugly or do you want good looking on your tattoo? Like that's
no. I want good looking. That's why I said Mario.
Oh, get out of here, Breakman! You're exiled. Son of a bitch.
Frank is a wise, wise man of fine taste.
Get out of here, you son of a bitch. No, that's easy. Me playing DQ8, no harmonica.
You're the only one.
That sucks. Well, Eric didn't make his choice. Hold on. We didn't ask Eric. Eric, what would you pick?
About what?
Just say me and let's be done with it, man.
Just say Mug.
No, say Frank. And no, get out of here. God damn it. You guys suck.
Silly.
You don't even know what the question was. You guys suck.
Better playing dumb than Eric.
All right, anything else on Twitter?
What's good is that I don't know if he actually was listening or not, but I don't care.
No, I was listening, but then I tuned out at some point.
All right. I think awesome. I tuned out when I started this goddamn show and heard the harmonica, man. All right.
There's a bunch more from Freak. Okay. He says a dolphin would be raping me in salt water. Because that's what I said.
It's gross.
Last week. RP Grinders, my comments about the state's rights last week was based on a petition for California to secede from the nation, which would be absolutely retarded.
I don't think that would be retarded, but go ahead.
Yeah, it would.
I don't think it would. I don't think it would.
There's one, people are like, oh, California has the sixth largest economy in the world, blah, blah, blah. There's one major problem, though. With the way that the climate's been, they've been having more and more and more wildfires, and they're starting to really
less water.
More wildfires, bigger and longer lasting droughts, and it's like if they're not already doing it, then they're going to be relying a lot more on federal relief funds to keep themselves going.
Yeah. See, so if California wants to secede from the nation, go ahead, fuck yourselves all you want. Because that's what you'll be doing.
Well, one thing going in their favor, they're on the coast there, and they could import a lot of things. They're
on the Pacific coast, not the Eastern coast. The Eastern coast is going to be the.
They can import
from China.
The Eastern Seaboard is like the main avenue.
I understand that, but
the people who are talking about succeeding from the nation have no idea what the fuck they're talking about.
That's not entirely true, Brake. There are some very smart people that are working on that.
Smart people make dumb decisions all the time.
People make dumb decisions all the time too. I mean, why the fuck not? Like, what we're dealing with now with Trump, like
Maury was just saying, they can't support themselves. Well, that's why it'd be the most stupid idea, because you can't support yourself.
The water problem.
They would be relying on us for help if they seceded from the nation.
Right, I understand that because
then why is it a good idea?
The one thing that would keep them from doing it is water. For sure, because I know for a fact that the majority of water in California, guess where it comes from? It comes from Colorado. So, that's the one thing that would hurt them tremendously. Like they could put a lot of pressure economically on the rest of the U.S. There's a lot of things that come out of California, mostly movies. So, and I know there, people make movies all over the world, et cetera, but Hollywood is still.
Hollywood has been doing a lot of outsourcing lately as far as movie making. I know there have been a lot of movies made in Cincinnati lately.
Most movies are not getting made in Hollywood anymore just because it's so expensive to do so.
Dungeon Buster says California's stealing Frank's water. I bet he's upset about that. Yeah, fuck California, man. I want my water back, son of a bitch, California.
So that's why you want them to secede. You want them to stop taking your water.
That's right. I want to put some economic sanctions on California for stealing my water. All right.
During Branches 2020.
Yeah.
Executive order.
Yeah, that would be my first executive order. It's like
to make California secede itself.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, anybody else got an item of the week?
I'm not done. There's more from Free 5.
Oh, there's more. Let's do it.
At Free 5 says, to me and to Frank, it is rather funny, a man who has had an alternative date that night and salted my sex life. I don't know what was said. I don't remember what was said. He also says, and for the record, almost all of my relationships would have been one-night stands, but the women wanted more.
Sure. Yeah, that's what they all say.
He also says, when you start making money, harmonica is gone. You won't make any from me.
Ooh.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks for not supporting the show.
Thanks for this YouTube video, and I have no idea what it is because I'm not loading it.
Yeah. Thanks for not supporting the show, Freak 5. That's really cool. Betsy DeVos is in chat. She says, we all fail.
Lovely.
That's
I'm already out of high school and college, dick.
All right. Anything else on Twitter?
Mm-mm.
All right. Any more items of the week, Mug or Eric?
No.
All right. What have you guys been playing? Mug, let's start with Mug. Let's start with you. What have you been playing?
Well, I finished, I got 100% completion on Rise of the Tomb Raider. So I went back and started messing around with the Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, which I got for like $450 or whatever it was on that sale that they had recently. And it's funny going back to that, to really, it really showcases just how much of a visual, you know, improvement, you know, Rise was. But it's, what's interesting is that, you know, in, I remember when Tomb Raider first came out, it was like, you know, it was, you know, visually very impressive, but it's like in 60 frames per second at, you know, at full HD, some of the animations look really weird. Like, not bad, just like a little off. Like, if you ever saw the Uncharted like PS4 collection,
yeah,
it's like it looks a little off. It's like these animations were not designed for that frame rate.
It's funny you mention that. I was watching a playthrough on Rad Brad's YouTube feed of Resident Evil 7, which, by the way, looks really good. Looks like a better version of like Condemned, basically.
It's been getting some good opinions I've seen. Yeah. I haven't seen ratings on it, but I've seen like people like hearsay saying that this is actually really good.
Yeah. One thing that I did notice about like the modeling, like the 3D modeling and stuff, is like they can't quite get the faces just right yet. Like there's something weird about looking at animated like game faces, like the teeth. There's just something weird about it. I don't know what.
Some games are better at it than others. Like Rise of the Tomb Raider, like when they, you know, when they show like they'll like hold like these really tight close ups on like Lara's face, and it's like, holy crap, that looks really good.
Yeah, yeah. If you'll probably know what I'm saying when you either play or see Resident Evil 7, what I'm talking about, Mug. But it's just they.
Yeah. I mean, I played the demo.
So, yeah.
So it's like playing with Tarkin?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Every character is like Tarkin?
Sort of like that. Yeah. It's kind of weird. I don't know. It was just something odd that I know. The game looks beautiful for sure, but the character models' faces are, there's a little left to be.
Yeah. I have heard that this is the best Resident Evil in a long time.
Yeah. All right. What else, Mug? Anything else you've been playing, or are we good there?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right, Breakman, you're up next.
What are we talking about?
What have you been playing?
What are you playing?
Oh, that's what we're doing. Let me see. I've been playing. What have I been playing?
Really?
No, I've been playing the same old. Final Fantasy Record Keeper and
Halo.
And Fallout 4. You know what? Actually, I've been playing a lot of Plague Inc. this week.
A lot of
back in that.
Oh, Plague.
That's a fun game.
Yeah. Plague fun. Is a fun game.
Yes. Thanks again, Moore. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
I probably would have never played it had you not recommended it. And fucking love that.
I like that you can name your disease whatever you want. So I can't. I'm naming my next disease Betsy DeVos.
That's what I was going to say. The next disease should
DeVos
be
virus.
BD for Betsy DeVos. That even sounds icky. BD. You got a case of BD, Betsy DeVos. All right, Eric. What have you been playing?
I played a little bit more Dragon Quest VIII. For the 3S, just playing some of the post-game content. Clear all of the Dragovonian trials.
Sweet.
And there's the new post-game dungeon, which is basically just a bunch of boss fights that are super challenging, and you get some rewards in the game, like the Aralicum Claw for Mori, which makes him have the highest attack power in the game. Because that's how ridiculously powered the Aralicum Claws have been traditionally. Mm. But there are only a handful of characters that can actually equip them, though. Like Dragon Quest III and Dragon Quest V, like the only games I know of that actually have that in there. Maybe Dragon Quest VII somewhere. But I also played a little of Poochie and Yoshi's Woolly World. I picked that up on Saturday morning.
Cool.
It's actually a pretty faithful adaptation of the Wii U game. It's obviously not HD, but they made a good job making the fabric texturing look good. And it actually, I think the 3D actually helps the game, and it's in 60 frames. I'm not sure how the game runs on an actual just plain 3DS, but new 3DS, yeah, definitely.
Nice.
All right. Anything else?
Yarn shading.
Yarn shading. I like those games, the Woolly World game. What else, Eric? Anything else?
I requested a code for Alla's Awakening, so I've been playing that.
Awesome.
It's a cute little Metroidvania platformer that's somewhat more in the vein of Battle Kid, because you can only take 3 hits before you die. Battle Kid was like, I want to be the guy hard, where one hit will kill you.
Battle Kid was like one, you get touched by anything, you die.
Although technically, you can get an item in the game that lets you have up to 6 hits, because it will just restore your health.
Yeah. I want to read real quickly in chat. Dungeon Buster says, DeVos is going to put stained glass windows in high schools because that's what the literacy rate will become. MXT says there will be no need to read anymore. Just listen to Trump's daily broadcast. That's all you will need. And Dungeon Buster says it'll be just like Middle Ages, where an institution and its rich friends were the only one that could read. Yeah, I think that's kind of the way it's going. Then he says orange radio vans.
Yeah. How about everyone gets to listen to Schmuck a l'Orange there.
Yeah, pretty much, man. I've been playing MPQ, no big news there, other than I did get a 5-star edition cover of Thanos, so I was really excited.
Weren't you getting a PS4?
I have a PS4, but it's not, I can't get it at the moment, let's just put it that way, but...
I see.
Yeah, but yes, I do have a PS4, I just haven't had time, and it's not where I currently reside, so that's, it's in limbo right now. Let's see. Stinko of the week. Eric, do you have a stinko this week?
Other than the DeVos domination.
Yeah, exactly. Breakman, do you have a stinko?
My stinko goes to, the Bengals and, specifically Adam Pac-Man Jones.
Uh-oh. What did he do now?
He has been arrested for the 8th time in the last 17 years. Basically twice, every other year, basically, he's arrested. That doesn't...
Oh, did we lose Breakman? I think we lost Breakman. Did I lose
Sorry, I hit the mute button on accident.
Yeah, that's right.
He's been arrested 8 times in the last 17 years, which basically every other year. And that doesn't include all of his arrests before then.
Yeah.
Because he is an athlete and a celebrity... The courts and our prosecutors and everybody else coddles him.
Yeah.
They do everything they can to protect him, to make sure he'll get to play football again. This guy, he reminds me of George Zimmer.
Yeah.
Zimmerman. He's basically out looking to cause trouble. He's a guy who goes out and actively looks to cause violence against other people.
Yeah. I think
he is somebody who, to me, as many arrests as he's been through, he has lost all doubt, all credibility. And the fact that the Bengals haven't cut ties with him and that the prosecutor of the city is defending him and, he just needs to go to alcohol rehab and shit like this.
Yeah.
At a certain point... You've lost the benefit of doubt.
I don't think
have you?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever told you guys my Adam Pac-Man Jones story. But I was working at another dispensary, and he came into that dispensary, and he was not very nice. He's just not a nice guy.
He does not seem like it. And the fact that he gets coddled. If he was anyone else, if he wasn't a rich celebrity football player, he'd be in jail right now.
Plain
and simple.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the fact. He would be in jail for all the violations he's caused.
He's got tons of money. Like Pac-Man Jones is a very rich individual, man. Like, he's got tons of money. Like, that's – if you have money in this country, you can – that makes up for a lot of faults, man. Like, it really does. It's sad. But
especially when you're famous.
Yeah.
Like we need him to play, we're not going to be good without him and shit like that. It's not fucking about him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not oh my God, there is more than the sport. When you get a guy who actively is out punching people, hitting women, spitting on nurses,
acting like an asshole to bud tenders.
Yeah, like he is a, and I hate to say this because there's negative connotations with it, but he's a thug. For lack of a better word, he is a thug. He's out looking to cause trouble, out looking to hit people.
Like we
have videos of him like slapping women, punching people, and shit like this. Like, he should be off the streets.
Yeah, he's not a good person.
No, he's not. And the fact that he gets defended just really pisses me off. And now, like, the prosecutor of the city of Cincinnati is saying, "Oh, he might lose his job over this and stuff, and he's going through rehab. We don't want to, like, he's going through rehab. Let's see how this goes first."
Yeah.
Like, how about after the second arrest he goes to rehab, not after the – I think this is like the 11th or more. The 8th this century.
He's had a very troubled past, like a very troubled past.
And he gets away with it because he's rich and he's an athlete, because he's good at playing a fucking game.
Yeah, he's very good at doing what he does, for sure, Brickman. I feel your frustration on that, man. Like, it's all about money, but whatever. It is. All right, anything else on that, Brickman?
No, that's it. Mug. I'm sorry. I'm just pissed about the whole situation.
No, I agree. I fully agree, man. Mug, your stinko of the week.
I got two. Well, one is, like, as you guys know, it's like I'm moving soon, and there's a lot of stress involved in that. So I'm just trying to wrangle my way through that. Every once in a while, you know, my anxiety kicks into high gear, and just like, what am I going to do? It's like, all right, just kind of trying to take it one day at a time. And but I think I'm finally settling into a plan as far as like getting stuff moved, like we discussed before the show started. So that helps. The other thing I was going to say was that there was this segment that someone linked me to on Fox and Friends, where they had this, you know, this woman guest on she had basically like this advice book about, you know, alpha females. And it's essentially this thing like, you know, if you're a take charge kind of woman, you know, be a submissive little shit for your husband when you're home, because he doesn't want to hear about it.
Oh boy!
I'm like, this is fucking gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. But essentially, like this, and what's funny is like, you know, the woman's like, it's two guys and a woman on Fox and Friends, and you know, and what this woman is actually, she's, you know, kind of going along with it and everything, but she's like, you know, is there anything, you know, it's like, so does this, like, is it always our fault, you know? And like, no, that's not that. It's just like, you know, basically it's, you know, it's understanding that, you know, when you see the socks left on the floor, it's not that he's doing it because he thinks that that it's your job to pick it up. He's doing it because he doesn't care that they're there. Like, that's so much better. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you, lady?
Yeah.
Like,
totally agree.
It's like, just, what's wrong with just treating women like people?
Yeah, exactly. And vice versa, too. Like, you know, like, that whole debate.
Because they're the servants? I mean,
maybe we need to get Mrs. Said that. We need to get Mrs. Brakeman on here.
Mrs. Brakeman knows who the bitch in the relationship
is. Oh, wow. Wow! Yeah,
I was gonna say we already knew that.
Yeah, we knew that.
She comes in here with a big smile on her face.
she knows who the bitch is. Yeah. Ew.
We need to put together that segment. What? We need to get that segment put together. We need to really think out the segment with Mrs. Brakeman on here. We need to have more Mrs. Brakeman, I think, on the show for sure. All right, Mug, that is all.
More Mrs. Brakeman in my life.
Yeah,
that was it for my stinkos.
All right. Mine is Trump's Nordstrom tweets. And the reason I bring those up is because shouldn't he be worrying about other things other than fucking Nordstrom and Ivanka Trump?
You know what? I think it's awesome that he's tweeting now, because it's totally backfiring on him.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
His so-called travel band.
Yeah.
Right. He's talking about like his travel band. It's not a Muslim band. It's not. It really isn't. Well, you tweeted it's a Muslim band.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. It's not a band, but it's still a band. Right. You know,
you said it was a Muslim band, Mr. President. You can't take that back. It's
on the internet. You should see Sean Spicer fucking backtrack and try to come up with excuses for what his interpretation. Like, this whole Kellyanne Conway, like, alternative facts thing that she brought up, they really believe that there are alternative facts to you know, these things called facts, actual things. Like,
yeah. What's funny is, like, historically, the word alternative in front of something generally means not that. Like, this is one of the comedians that I follow on Facebook said, alt facts are not facts. Alternative medicine is not medicine. You know, it's like, you know, the alternative whatever. It's like, it's not, you know, it's like, if you put alternative in front of it, it's not really that at all.
No. Dungeon Buster brought up the stock price of Nordstrom. It did go down a few pennies after that tweet, but by the end of the day, it rallied to above where it was. And then, like, the next day or the day after, it was, like, up at, like, $1.75. So, like, it didn't affect them at all. Like,
yeah, and like a bunch of other brands are dropping Ivanka Trump's line.
I like that in chat. MXT is basically calling Trump like Hulk Hogan. It's Trumpomania.
It's Trumpomania.
Oh, Trumpomania, brother! Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah, exactly. That's who I would equate. Actually, it is kind of a good comparison, racist versus racist. Like, that's actually kind of accurate. I'm going to go on to the Sweetos. Speaking of Sean Spicer, Melissa McCarthy absolutely tore it up on Saturday Night Live with her impersonation of Sean Spicer. It was pitch perfect. Like, it couldn't have been better. And that also through Trump in a tizzy as well.
Oh yeah, he keeps griping about how SNL is like it's so bad, it's so unwatchable. Like, they're literally having their biggest season in like 22 years.
Oh, it's going off. Like, they're bringing the heat this year. Like, I'm not a big SNL fan. Like, I like the old school, like Eddie Murphy, Chevy Chase, John, you know, Jim Belushi. That was SNL.
Like, Saturday Night Live for me hasn't been good since like the Chris Farley days.
Yeah, Chris Farley. Yeah, I agree. But it's picking up. It's doing good. Also, I want to make quick mention of Jimmy Fallon last night. Was pretty awesome. You had two impersonations of Trump that were pretty spot on between Fallon and Alec Baldwin. So it was pretty cool. I enjoyed it.
What's funny is that Trump doesn't seem to get that as a government official, you're going to have comedians making fun of you. Like, every single president has had people who've, you know, essentially made a career, at least in the modern era. Because, you know, every single president has had comedians making a career of making fun of them.
Yeah. There was it's funny because Melissa McCarthy at one point in that press conference, like, pulled out a super soaker and was starting to spray reporters. And I was like, that's pretty much how this White House treats reporters. Like, if it doesn't,
you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that was what happens next week.
I wouldn't be surprised either, man. It's
the White House all has super soakers. Like, oh, yeah. No, we don't like your question.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I laughed pretty out loud when that happened. Eric, your Sweeto of the week.
I don't really have one.
All right, Breakman, your Sweeto.
In chat, Dungeon Buster says Obama was right with his advice: have thick skin.
Yeah, this is probably the weakest president that we've ever had, and that's saying something, because there's been some pretty
I can't say that because there have been some really bad presidents before I was born, but like I wasn't around. To
I don't
like,
think
judge them.
I don't think previous president. I'm not sure there's ever been a previous president with this incompetent a cabinet.
I know, but like, but he hasn't like caused a trail of tears or anything like that.
No, he's but pretty, he is actively attacking the foundations of the government.
Right, you
know, he is undermining the viability of
attacking,
American
but
government.
he hasn't done anything like the trail of tears yet. Is what I'm saying.
Oh, no, you mean like signing executive
the
orders?
Viability of the American government, and if right. The American government, like, if a government loses all credibility, then it either collapses or right. It becomes totalitarian.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you in any way. I'm just saying there've been a lot of horrible things done by American presidents.
You guys aren't listening to what I'm saying. He is the weakest.
Shut up, Frank.
Weakest president that we've ever had, like, by far. He is the most thin-skinned, weakest president that I can imagine.
Oh, yeah. In that sense, yes, you are absolutely right.
George Bush wasn't even that weak, and he was fairly weak.
Like, shit, like I would fucking kill for another W term.
I would too. No question about it. But whatever. I mean, what can you do? What can you do? You know what
Cry.
We need. You know what we need. We need more of
I
this.
Think that should be the name of the show. What can you do? ..
Die.
Cry.
No, you know what we need? We need more of this. If you hurt my friends, then you hurt my pride. Yeah, immortal words there.
See, I was always a WCW guy. So I prefer American Made.
Oh, American Made. No, I prefer this one, man. Like, that. I don't know. But
his probably his best entrance was the Jimi Hendrix entrance.
The NWO.
The Voodoo Child entrance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was good. That was really good. I totally
agree. But we know Frank is not a real American.
What? What?
Frank is not a real American.
New World Order. Those are the days, man. Those WCW Indeed. Days were awesome. All right.
Oh, man. That's when I used to love wrestling.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to – let's see. Did I get you a break on your Sweeto this week?
I don't know. All right. I have no idea.
All right. Do you have
I'm going to go with yes.
Okay. Mug, your Sweeto.
Well, I've – as you guys know, I've been digging through a bunch of stuff, trying to find stuff to sell to, you know, just get some income, some money coming in to prepare myself for the move. And I did a little bit of digging around, and I found a few more things that I was like, I found my old Dreamcast, which Yay! Still works.
Nice.
And it's what's funny is like this is actually it's a modified one, so it's a region. You know, it's a launch day. I still have the original Electronics Boutique receipt. You know, from September 9th, 1999, it's like it was in the box, but it still works, and it's, you know, and it was modified, so it's region free, and it's one of the original ones, so it'll boot CD-ROMs. So I put that up. I also found my old God of War 3 like Ultimate Edition, and it's in really good condition, so I put that up on my eBay. I've got like, you know, almost 30 auctions up right now, and I'm just like, and I'm not done.
So you haven't played any Dreamcast games? You just put it up for sale?
I sold all my Dreamcast games.
Oh, ouch. Okay.
In
my opinion, Dreamcast is still the most underrated system.
I love that system.
Followed by the Saturn.
Yeah, I like the Dreamcast quite a bit, man.
I love the Saturn and especially the Dreamcast. Yeah. Those are great systems.
Yeah. All right, no lulls this week, so we are going to move on to some reviews. Eric, last week we had to kind of skip over reviews. This week... you have the floor. Did you already do your reviews, or are you done? Do you have more reviews, Eric? I think we heard the Stan Lee Presents one. We did not hear the Lego Batman one.
No, we did Stan Lee's Presents Condor. This is Mosaic.
Okay. Go ahead, Eric, with your reviews.
Split. I'm not going to really add all that much to it than Frank said, but I liked it. I think M. Night Shyamalan has finally realized that he probably works best when he's doing psychological horror than he is supernatural horror.
Yeah, I agree.
Although in this movie, he does go in the supernatural territory just a tiny bit in the way that, well, that's not quite how evolution works, but okay.
But it's kind of made sense, though. But I don't want to ruin that ending for anybody.
Although they're setting it up to be a series. Yeah. So there's going.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the movie was such a huge success. I mean, like I think it had a budget of like $5 million, and it made like 90.
It had like 20.
It's very much an unqualified success.
I think I missed like the first like 3 minutes of the film because I was a little bit late to the theater.
You have a habit.
There's not much that happened.
I was surprised that there weren't that many previews for the movie because I was kind of expecting to like walk in on previews, but no, the movie had started.
You know, when I went to see that movie, they played a different movie at first, so I saw all the wrong previews, which I was highly disappointed in. Like that really
are you sure you just didn't walk in the wrong theater?
No.
That's what we did for Hidden Figures, and then I had to like quickly get to the other theater, and like I said, I only missed a couple minutes.
They played the wrong one in the wrong theater, which is weird. But
that was awful of them. I had to get them to replay Harry Potter because we couldn't have sound.
Oof, that sucks. Yeah, it looks like the budget.
Which part? The part that he was watching Harry Potter, or the part where it sucked?
Hey, shut up.
$9 million.
Watch through a shitty movie, Resident Evil, the final chapter.
Oh, boy.
We could have told you that was shitty before you saw it.
Yeah. But
movie has some of the worst editing I have ever seen.
Yes. Oh, God.
Yeah, and not only that, it does that really annoying thing where it does the camera shift to like someone else's point of view, and they just keep going back and forth. They do it tenths of a second or something.
I was counting edits, and I was thinking like, okay, just during a non, like toward the beginning, like I was counting edits. So I was like, okay, we've got 5 seconds. Yeah. 4 seconds,
yeah.
7 seconds, ooh, 9 seconds, not bad, 2 seconds. And then during the actual action sequences, you're getting like 3 to 6 edits per second.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So editing's awful like fucking usual. And they couldn't even be asked to do a proper conclusion of the events of the conclusion of the last film. So they said Alice do a summary of what should have happened but didn't.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. Okay. Like, if you remember, like his habit with those movies has always been like, okay, we're going to set up a cliffhanger and then we're going to resolve it in the first 2 minutes of the next film.
Yeah. And they couldn't even do that. So like, yeah. So now we don't even know what happened to all the people of the previous film that survived. And We still don't know the answer to what the fuck happened to Chris, but we find out what happened to Claire, and she's there for the film, but where's Chris? Nowhere.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So
he's getting a beer.
So they're pulling a Friday the 13th. This really isn't the final chapter of Resident Evil, is what you're saying. I watched 20 minutes of it. I gave it a good go. And I just couldn't.
Final chapter of Alice's story, even though
I mean, like,
still alive and could do things.
Yeah, I mean, I thought their little twist for Alice's origin stuff. Like, that's decently entertaining. I mean, that's kind of interesting. But
also, they rewrote Wesker's character at the last minute just so that he could be a lame yes man.
Yeah. Basically.
So
and
what do you?
And he's disposed of in the most unceremonious fashion, too.
Yeah, they really, really did waste that entirely.
All right, so we didn't get a score on Split, Eric. What are you giving Split?
I'm gonna give it a 7.5.
Okay, what are you giving Resident Evil: The Final Chapter?
Half of that.
I'm giving this shit a fucking 3.5.
Oh, good.
Ooh, I was close.
Yeah.
I would say it's not as bad as Retribution. I was like, Retribution bored me to tears. I nearly fell asleep.
That would be a 3.
Yeah, and like Retribution, I would say is probably around a 2. Mm. Like the CG was bad, the staging was bad. It's like the editing was better than the final chapter.
The second movie, I don't know what that was called, but that was so bad I didn't watch anymore.
Yeah, kind of liked Extinction, the third one.
Flat 3D, so don't see it in 3D.
Yes, it is a waste of 3D. So, I mean, like, I couldn't tell. I was like, is this even in 3D? I look at it, it's like, oh, yeah, there's a little bit of something. But
Yeah.
You got
the anyways, the theater I went to that play Lego Batman sucks, and they split the 3D and the non-3D times for that Lego Batman, so I just saw the non-3D version. Okay. I don't know how it is in 3D.
That's
maybe
a good,
Mel could tell me.
That's a good segue.
I actually only watched it in 2D.
That's a good segue into the Lego Batman. So go ahead, Eric.
It's a better Batman movie than Batman vs. Superman.
That's not saying much.
It's a better Batman movie than Dark Knight Rising, but Dark Knight Rising sucks.
Well, I mean,
they dropped the ball halfway through the movie. That's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, Dark Knight Rises, it's not a terrible movie, but it's like it is not nearly as good as the previous two.
Yeah,
I think the big
problem with Dark Knight Rises was that Heath Ledger died.
Also, I think it was
you could tell that he was meant to be a big part of that movie.
Yeah.
Also, I think it was stupid that they basically made the conclusion to the film an homage to the stupid 66 Batman movie. Mm. The bomb that he had to get rid of.
Do they have shark repellent?
No. No sharks. Oh, just
damn it. There is shark repellent in the Lego Batman movie.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, there's all. I mean, that movie is jam packed full of homages and stuff to previous Batman movies.
In addition to the Lego Batman movie just being a good Lego movie, it's also a good deconstruction of the entire concept of Batman.
Yeah, it really is. I would say that I didn't like it as much as I liked the Lego movie, but it was really good, and it's very funny. It's like it's just the jokes are fucking nonstop. And what's interesting is if you look at the cast, it's like there are tons and tons of celebrity cameos. Like one of the characters, like the little side characters that shows up, is Lego's Voldemort. And he's actually voiced by Ralph Fiennes.
I also think it's hilarious that they can consider Velociraptors and Gremlins villains. Well, Gremlins villains, but Velociraptors, why?
Yeah. I love that they have Sauron and is in the movie. I'm like, that is amazing.
The eye of Sauron specifically, not even Sauron.
Yeah, and it's just like, and it's a fairly, and it's a relatively major player, and there's a nice little homage, like talking about, Batman has the best rogues gallery, and like at the beginning of it, they list off like practically every villain he's ever had, including like all of the really lame ones, like Clock King and
Condiment King.
Condiment King.
I'm guessing Humpty Dumpty, and Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Those are like side characters, aren't they though?
Yeah,
those are all legitimate Batman villains because a lot of the old Batman comics were inspired by Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah,
actually, so you find a lot of Alice, like Mad Hatter and stuff. Film, you see his minions more. It was just weird, but whatever. But it was a lot longer than I was expecting it to be. So.
Yeah, it's an hour and 45 minutes. And if, by the way, there's no post-credit stinger, so you don't have to wait. I did.
Well, let me test the lameness of this. Does Calendar Man show up?
Yes.
Yes.
God damn it.
I mean, when they've got Crazy Quilt, then everything's on the table.
Also,
I have to see this movie.
What's that, Eric?
Croc's basically just a modified Hulk with crocodile head.
One design wise that I really liked was how they did Clayface. I thought that Clayface looked really cool. Like how this Lego reconstruction of Clayface looking like the Arkham version of Clayface, no less. Mm. Like the big bulky monster.
Like a chicken gets a cat gets covered in something and it immediately dies. So it's like
that was a really weird and slightly like that's a little dark for this movie.
No, yeah, but they made a dick joke in a kid's movie.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. So what do you get in Lego?
It is funny, and what's funny is like if you thought that like the Lego movie was really kind of if the Lego movie felt overstuffed to you, Lego Batman is much more so.
I like the Lego movie, but I think this movie's better but that might just be me because it's with a source material I'm more intimate with, and the Lego movie was just kind of just whatever. And I identify with the Batman a little bit more, so I'm enjoying it a lot more.
You both convinced me I need to see this movie.
Yeah, yeah I want to see it.
I'm giving it a 9 out of 10.
I have a choice between we were discussing this off air. Like I have to see 50 Shades Darker, but after that, my choice is going to be a tough one between Lego Batman and John Wick 2.
So, I'm seeing John Wick this weekend. Or
oh my god,
Tuesday really or something.
I don't have any money, man. But damn, I want to see both of those movies. I really do.
Yeah, I wonder if
that's worth seeing in 3D.
I bet it would. I bet it would.
Yeah, there's so much in, especially during the action sequences. They're so fast paced in Lego Batman. It's like you'll want to go back over this and like frame by frame just to catch a lot of the jokes and stuff that are in there.
Maybe I should see it again in 3D just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
And I also watched Rings.
The only reason I won't is because the previews kind of didn't really sell me on the 3D.
Okay, I want to know more about Rings, because it has one of the best actors in it, but it's gotten some of the worst ratings.
It has. What's interesting is Johnny Galecki is really good at it, and I didn't know that, you know, Vincent D'Onofrio was in it until I saw it.
Yeah, but in my opinion, is one of the greatest actors.
Is it more in tune with the original Ring than the first time?
Yeah, they basically ignore the existence of The Ring 2 entirely. It's not a terrible film. It's not a complete mess like The Ring 2 was. The Ring 2 was fucking awful.
I never saw The Ring 2. I only saw Ringo 2.
Yeah, Ring 2.
Which was not good either.
I didn't like any of the Japanese Ring movies. The only one I really liked was Gore Verbinski's remake of the original. But it does a decent job of following up on the lore of and expanding the idea behind it. And I was like, okay, it's kind of clever. It's not a great movie, but it's watchable. But I wouldn't recommend going, you know, spending the money to go see it in a theater. And I was like, you know, it's a Netflix kind of watch.
Okay, so what would you give Rings?
I was going to say I would give Lego Batman an 8, yeah. Or I would have given Lego Movie itself a 9. But Rings, I would say 5.
All right, that's not bad. That's average. I'm going
to
say
it's a perfectly, you know, it's watchable. It's not going to win any awards. It's got some neat stuff. It's actually Vincent D'Onofrio and Johnny Galecki are the best reasons to watch it. Also, one thing that's weird about it is that the lead character, the woman, she sounds like she's having a hard time suppressing an Eastern European accent.
Mm-hmm. Is it worth watching if I had not seen any of the Western Ring movies?
If you haven't seen the original one, you won't know what's going on.
All right, so I should at least do that one. But
which is a good movie anyway.
But is it worth red boxing instead of seeing it in theaters?
Probably. Hmm. So cool. Yeah, I mean, if you want to see, you know, go watch the original, like not the original, but the the American one, which is really good.
I like The Ring. Okay, I thought that was good. I did think they waited a bit too long to bring out this Rings movie, but whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of a soft reboot sort of thing. I mean, it doesn't undo anything. I mean, it's based very heavily on the events of the first movie because it's still about, you know, Samara Morgan and all this stuff. But it's it's not like super required. I mean, it fills in enough of the blanks to where you kind of get like, okay, there's history here, but you will get a lot more out of it if you've seen the first one.
Yeah. All right. You want to do Hidden Figures, Mug, real quick before we go on to what I think is going to be a very lively free-for-all before I get into my shortened edition of GDP?
All right. I never actually covered the Mosaic movie.
Oh shit, go ahead, Eric.
I'll do this really short. It was definitely better than Condor was, but it was still just basically a pilot for a TV show that will never happen. Yeah. So still kind of middling, but it's slightly better, so I'm going to give it 5.5.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a little bit above the average. Cool. All right, Mug, Hidden Figures.
Yeah, Hidden Figures is fantastic. Everyone should go see it. I mean, pure and simple. The only complaint I had about it was that it's a little the stuff with their families. I understand it was used to kind of help further humanize them as characters, but it mostly felt kind of extraneous. Like it was just like, you know, ancillary to the main plot.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of focus on one of the characters in particular, and the others kind of get a little, like, you know, they get a little bit of a short shrift. But you know, it's simultaneously inspiring and uplifting, and it's also fucking infuriating and a little bit nauseating because you're seeing this. You know, this 60s era racism from a decidedly black perspective, which is something that as white people, you know, it's like as a white person, I'm not used to seeing. And seeing that, it's just like, It's like hearing and the way that they present, it's like the way that people look at these women and the way that they speak to them and just the attitudes towards them. It's like, it's revolting. I'm like, God, and people actually did this shit. There are still people who think this way. And it's just like, oh, gross. And it's just like, I wanted to punch people constantly watching the movie, but actually watching what they did, seeing their contribution and how they, how much prejudice they overcame, and just seeing them stand up and, accomplish, make this huge difference in the future of the space program. It's incredibly inspiring, and it is an excellent film. I would say I would easily give it a 9.
Mm, cool.
So not only did they have to deal with racism, they had to deal with the fact that they were women too, and women were kind of just put to the sidelines. Mm-hmm. Basically, women were given this position called computers, because like that's what computers were before they were machines.
Yeah. Their task was to take hard numbers and compute and come up with the answers that were needed.
But they weren't allowed in meetings because it hasn't been done before. So okay, why not do this now? So I really loved the one scene where Costner's character, the director of NASA or either NCA, because it wasn't NASA at the time, but was basically saying how trying to get them to all work together because, he wanted to beat the Russians. It's like, maybe it's because we don't care enough, and maybe we don't care enough because we might be racist.
Yeah. And the thing about the bath, the whole scene where she finally – she's like, why are you gone 40 minutes out of every day? And explaining why she's gone 40 minutes out of the day. It has to do with the goddamn bathroom. It's just like that speech of hers, it's short. It's, to the point, and it's powerful.
One thing I listened to on the SGU is basically the book has even more characters, and it's far more detailed, so they recommend people go read that, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can't put everything in a book into a movie.
I know, but I think they cut a significant amount of characters out, and that's probably a lot of story that could have been in the movie. Story that probably could have been in there instead of the family stuff and focusing on one character.
Yeah. In chat, MXT is talking about Grindr Dance Party Wrestling Theme Edition. I did do a wrestling theme edition at one point of GDP, but tonight will not be that. I will play.
And MXT was banned from that edition.
Right? Yeah. 30 to 45 minutes is what I'm shooting for after the show for GDP, because there's only a couple people. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Normally we have a bigger crowd, but today is. Really?
Yeah, today's kind of slim. Earlier, you were talking about Split, Mug. The budget for Split, $9 million. Opening weekend, $40 million. To date, it's grossed $102 million just in the United States. So
it's a massive hit.
It is a massive hit.
Shyamalan needed that too.
Yeah. Well, he had one
with his.
How much did
star power has been going down?
Actually, he's on the rise, man. The Visit was
because of this, yeah.
No. The Visit was another massive hit.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So
the Visit was decently successful. It was fairly well regarded. It's like he's finally getting away from
happening.
Signs. Signs was so bad, but I remember.
I never saw The Village.
The Village is good. I like The Village.
Horribly mismarketed because it was advertised as a horror film and it's meant to be like a fairy tale.
Yeah, I like The Village quite a bit actually. I'm one of the few. I know a lot of people didn't like that movie, but I did. I think he's on the upswing. The Visit was a great movie, and this I think Split is probably his best movie by far. Like I like it better than. Sixth Sense, even. So, all right.
Sixth Sense pretty much.
Freak 5 has just joined us.
That was
us
years ago, though.
Freak 5 has just joined us in chat.
I didn't know that was his either.
Eric, please don't interrupt, man. Sorry. We're on to our free for all. I have railed against GameStop for years on this show for various practices that they've done over the years. But now we finally have a really good opportunity to really talk about how shady this company really is. Eric, could you lead us into the story about GameStop's, quote, circle of life policy?
All right, just let me load it, because I wasn't expecting to actually tackle this today.
Yeah, but, we're going to tackle it, man. We're going
to Anyways, it says, after, well, past the headlines, so just, have you gone to GameStop over the past few months and tried to buy a new game? Have they told you it's not stock? They may simply be lying to you, fueled by a new program that discourages GameStop salespeople from selling unowned copies of video games. Program called Circle of Life gives each GameStop store different percentage quotas for pre-orders, reward card subscriptions, used game sales, and game trade-ins. Each of these quotas is based on the store's total transactions. Pre-orders and reward card subscriptions are based on the number of transactions, while used game sales and trade-ins are based on the total dollar value of transactions. If a store's quota for used game sales is 30% and the store sells $1,000 worth of merchandise, GameStop expects at least $300 of that merchandise to be pre-owned.
Okay. There's a myriad of problems with this. On the surface, it doesn't sound all that bad. A third of everything has to be pre-owned. But because that's where they make their bread and butter, right? They make a vast majority of their money.
They're a pawn shop.
Basically. Yeah, they're basically a pawn shop for video games. And that's why I think now you even have to fill out paperwork like a pawn shop if you trade in your games, if I'm not
mistaken. Yeah, you have to sign something.
Yeah.
You have to digitally sign that thing. It's essentially an affirmation that, yes, I own these games. These are mine to sell.
Right. I have had a huge grudge with GameStop, and I have not shopped in GameStop, I think the last time I did was for a game. I think it was for Dragon Quest IX because I think they were the only ones that had something. Like bonus
pre-order thing.
Yeah, pre-order thing that you could only get there.
I did that for 7 and 8.
Yeah.
I didn't get anything for 7. I just did it there because it was convenient and I had the money and
right,
I wanted to
right.
get it over
no,
with.
I don't fault people. It, I mean, it, you know.
Yeah, if I lived near Best Buy, I would have gone there instead, but I don't. So
Mug Your Exile, by the way, what you just wrote.
But, the only other time I went there recently was to pick up Gravity Rush 2 when I sold my copy of Mario Kart 8 for the Wii U, since I'll probably be picking up the deluxe version later anyway. But and I actually was able to get $27 for it.
Yeah. I think that GameStop has been consistently one of the shadiest fucking retailers out there. And for things like this, there was also – I don't know if you guys remember. There was also a training video that went around directly from – GameStop about how to treat women in the store. I don't know if you guys saw that.
No, I didn't. I can already imagine where this is going.
Oh,
but,
my
you know,
God.
Continue.
Mug, after that, like, I never stepped. Like, I said, I've been to GameStop once maybe in the past 10 years. Like, I refuse to go to GameStop because of shit like this. Like, they have this insane... and you know what? Maybe Breakman can speak to this. I know you worked at Hollywood Video or Game Crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for bringing that up.
No, I know. Did they have insane sales?
My dark pornographic past.
I know. Did they have insane sales goals for you guys, like for used games at Game Crazy?
Yeah, of course. Every company has goals as far as. What you sell and stuff like that, but I never thought that they were insane.
Yeah,
I usually hit them pretty well.
Yeah,
in fact, like I took my store from last to first.
Yeah, see,
just saying
which is like the way
I remember one of the things about the GameStop thing was that apparently because
when I took over that store, like it was an underperforming store, and they weren't making any money and stuff like that, and I turned it around.
Yeah.
Sorry, don't try not to break your arm patting yourself on the back. But no, it's like the thing with the GameStop, their little Circle of Life program, though, it's like apparently like people are like sales reps are actually terrified to sell like new consoles because they're such high dollar and that it fucking kills their quotas.
Yeah,
because like you're expected to if you're sell like that's okay, that's $400 worth of merchandise. Well, that immediately pushes your this huge chunk of money that you've now got to make up for with sales of their three target items. you know, used games and subscriptions.
Yeah,
and,
see, that's the thing. Like, their fucking sales are based on how many fucking subscriptions. Like, I always thought going into a specialty store, like a game, a video game store, was a complete luxury. Like, there was, you know, nobody has any reason to be in there other than buying video games. You know, their employees consistently over the years, like when I used to go to GameStop, I would ask about RPGs. Nobody knew a fucking thing about RPGs or which games that were coming up. Like, major releases, like major RPGs. Like, back in the day, for me, it was things like Shin Megami Tensei, right? They never knew what the fuck I was talking about. And I'm like, really? This it's beyond me. You do one thing at this fucking store, and you don't know what Shin Megami Tensei is? Really? Like, honestly? Come on, man. And then they came out with this, here it is, how to talk to women video, training their employees how to talk to women. And then now it's this fucking circle of life, like sales things. Like, they are, to me, if GameStop was wiped off the face of the earth, I wish Trump would wipe them off the face of the earth, because at least it would be doing some service to us. Like, there are so many different ways you can get your games other than going to fucking GameStop and being treated the way that you usually are. Now, I haven't been in there in 10 years for good reason, but maybe they've changed, but apparently they haven't. Like, now they're starting to put pressure on their employees to fucking sell.
But hey, now that this thing's blown open, I think this thing might be their death knell.
We've said that how many times before, Eric?
Yeah, there's actually, if you guys check out or follow Jim Sterling, the most recent episode of Jimquisition, he talks about this, like, you know, basically, like, about these two industries, like GameStop and the game, you know, the game industry. They both hate each other, but they both rely on each other to a great extent to survive.
Right.
He breaks down the nature of these two industries' relationships really effectively. It's a good video. You should check it out.
Yeah.
Circle of Strife, it's called, I remember.
Yeah, I'll probably watch that. I'm not a big Jim Sterling fan, but every once in a while, like, I'll watch his videos. But this might be something good for me to watch. Like, I just became very disillusioned to GameStop, and I found out that there are just better ways of getting your video games. Like, there just are. Like, the whole experience from start to finish. Like, I'm not saying all GameStops were that way, but every time that I would go in, like, they really, unless it was Call of Duty, nobody knew what the fuck I was talking about. Like literally, like, you, and that's due to probably turnover. I mean, Breakman could probably speak more to that, because he was a fucking manager at Game Crazy, but mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, turnover is a big part of it, but I think also training is a huge part of it. And when you got clueless CEOs of your company that put out videos like how to – look that up, Mug. How to talk to women, GameStop video. And you'll see like
– Are you kidding?
No. They actually had a training
video. It's on YouTube?
Yes, it's on YouTube. How to talk to women.
How does GameStop pay?
How to talk to women.
Embarrassing, embarrassing GameStop.
Shut up.
Talk to women video.
Yeah, it's pretty embarrassing. And this new policy is really embarrassing too. Like, it just, I don't know, it's really, really insane. It sucks.
And I'm still typing. Shut up, Frank.
any final thoughts on GameStop and the whole used game and Circle of Life policy that they have? Any final thoughts?
I'll say that's a tasteless name for a policy based on a movie that's much better than GameStop ever will be.
Yeah.
Right. As far as, like, GameStop, they prefer you buy their used games because those are pure profit to them.
Yeah,
they paid like a marginal fee.
Can we just call it Pawn Shop? Pawn Stop?
Yeah. Pawn Stop. Yeah.
You know,
that's actually really accurate.
That's another thing. Like, video games have always been a big part of my life, guys. And one of the coolest things ever to me, and like one of the things that I cherish the most, like, when it comes to video games, is opening up a new game. Like, that new game smell. It's like, sort of.
I
like,
actually hate opening on the new game because the way they seal wrap those.
I don't.
What I've gotten quite from.
What's that? You guys
I said you wuss, those things are easy to open.
No, they're not easy to open.
What I've gotten quite fond of in the last few years is downloads. Like, I'd like not having to do fucking anything.
Yeah, I know.
The game is right there. I
don't like that, though.
Love it.
Yeah, I'm more old school. I like actually opening up.
I'm tired of the old school. When you talk about old school, I think about, like, having to blow into your Nintendo cartridge just to get the goddamn game to start.
Yeah.
Well, each digital and physical
By the way, yeah. If you don't know, like I learned in working at Game Crazy, that actually a Q-tip with alcohol is the only way to truly fix a game, even though it says on the back of every Nintendo cartridge,
yeah.
Do not use alcohol on this. No. Dip your Q-tip in alcohol.
Actually, break, that's not even true. It's with the NES, it was the fact that the pin connectors were shit, so yeah, you had to get new ones.
But Breakman had a good point.
I'm serious. Every Nintendo game I ever – when I used alcohol on the connections and the pins
– Yep, it works.
Every game worked.
Yeah. It works. It does work.
Unless you're
pitching. Well, the thing is, the alcohol actually will corrode the contacts over time.
Yeah, but come on, man.
But a lot of the problems with the NES was because the 72-pin connector was so poorly made.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a reason that there's a cottage industry for replacement 72-pin connectors.
Yeah. This is why I argued that the NES was a terrible console.
It was a great system, but it was a poorly made console.
Well, yeah, a lot of consoles. If it was designed for like the Famicom, it would have been better.
Yeah.
Well, from what I understand, like the second revision was much better made.
Yeah.
It
was too little, too late, and it actually was RF only.
Hey guys, real quickly, I'm giving GameStop a 2 out of 10. Just to let you guys know, a 2 out of 10. What would you give GameStop, Mug?
I can only go off my personal experience, and I haven't dealt with any of this stuff, so I'm going to go strictly neutral and go straight 5.
Oh, yeah. Here's something that was awful that happened during the Batman Lego movie, or Lego Batman movie, but the stupid teaser trailer for the Emoji movie.
What the hell? I didn't see that.
Yeah. What are you giving GameStop, Eric?
GameStop should be a movie, and if it were a movie, I'd probably get the same score you did.
Yeah, 2 out of 10.
You would totally watch the riff tracks of that.
Yeah. What would you give GameStop, Breakman?
Since they're still around and Game Crazy isn't, I'll give them a 10 out of 10.
Oh, you son of a bitch. all right. That's going to do it for the show. Stick around, guys. I'm going to be doing a quick...
Hold on. Freak5cast says I'm giving GameStop a DQ8.
Oh, get the hell out of here, Freak5, son of a bitch. Exiled. Fucking exiled.
Dungeon Buster, GameStop's not that bad.
Dungeon Buster gives GameStop 2 used games out of 10. I agree with that, Dungeon Buster. All right. Stick around after the show, guys. I'll be doing probably a 45-minute version of GDP tonight. Get your request in now. I will be doing a really cool return of GDP, hopefully more to come, depending on how many people we can get in here to enjoy it. So one or two songs, let's start with that, guys. And if I have any time for any after, I will do more songs. But one or two requests in chat if you're going to stick around for GDP. With that, let's do some plugs. Mug, your plugs, please.
You can find me wherever at Moria Mug, MoriaMug.
Breakman, your plugs, please.
At Break_Man and at RP Grinders on Twitter.
All right.
And if you give us a Would You Rather that doesn't involve us fucking dead relatives, we appreciate it.
I dig that, man. What's Mrs. Breakman's? It's Mrs._Breakman on Twitter?
Yeah, Mrs._Break_Man or Mrs. I'm not sure. Something like that. You'll figure it out.
All right, cool.
There's an underscore somewhere.
Yeah. Eric, your plugs.
I'm going to plug TotallyGN.com. Got my review of Double Dragon 4 up there. I didn't mention it in the games being played since my experience with the game is so brief, because that's all you really need for Double Dragon 4, because it's a game you shouldn't really buy because it's not very well made.
In Freak's defense, he says, I haven't asked you to fuck a dead relative in a long time.
Yeah, this is true. That is true. He's been behaving. MXT says, I have. I thought it was going to say, I have a request, is what he's saying. But it sounded like he said, I haven't asked you just to fuck a relative and a dead relative in a long time. And MXT bursts in with, I have. Like, I've asked them.
Damn you, MXT. MXT.
The timing of that was just awesome. They're starting to put in requests for GDP. Anything else, Eric? Any other plugs?
I might get around to actually doing a snack review.
All right, cool.
Ooh, what?
Zagnuts. Have you ever had those?
Yeah, Zagnuts.
I've seen them. I've seen them all my life, but I've never had one.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever had one either.
How about these nuts? Have you had those?
Oh, God.
No, Frank. No, we haven't had your nuts, Dick.
All right. That's going to just about do it. My plugs are as follows. Follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches. Make sure you check out Freak 5 Chaos's show, Zombies Anonymous. Check out GDP after our normal show, RP Grinders. I'll be doing this probably once or twice a month, GDP, depending on demand. I might do it more than that, depending. But tonight's going to be the first, the return of GDP.
When we have more people on chat, probably going to be higher.
Oh, demand. God. I remember some days we'd have like 15 people in chat, man. It was hard to keep up with everybody's requests, but total fun. All right, guys. That's going to do it for this edition of RP Grinders, episode 427. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. If you're in chat, stick around for GDP right after. Give me about 5-10 minutes, and then we'll get started with the fun. Until then, we are out. Later.